Okay, so before we get the car, thank you for making them. Before we begin, so let's review a little bit on the Gemara. We started with this Gemara last time. Last week I had a wedding, so the last time that we met was actually 2 weeks ago. Sorry for the spotty, patch here in the schedule, but we'll hopefully get back to. So let me just read through the last, I think we were reading very quickly through the last Amud, and that's really what we want to focus on tonight as well. Okay, so we're at the two dots, the Kesef. We read through this, and I want to go through it more slowly, and I want to zero in on what I think is the main theme, and then we'll try to move more quickly through these Gemaras until we get to some bigger topics. So the Gemara here on Gimel Amud Beis is referring back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Ha'isha Niknes B'Gimel Drachim B'Kesef B'Shtar B'Biya, and this is the beginning discussion about Kesef. Even though we've already said a lot about Kesef, including, and this is important, the fact that the language of Ha'isha Niknes, of Niknes, according to the Gemara, the language of Kenyan, is partially connected to the fact that the source of Kesef is Kicha Kicha Niste Ephraim. And the fact that that's, you know, pretty much the first meaningful term used in the Masechta was not lost on the Rambam, in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Ishas Halacha Aleph, who emphasizes this idea of Kinyan. So even though now the Gemara turns to a formal discussion of Kinyan Kesef B'Kiddushin, the truth is that what has already been established, you know, before, right from the beginning of the discussion of the Mishnah, has established the centrality of Kesef, and seemingly has already provided us with a makar, Kicha Kicha Mistafron, that's the Gemara on that base that we previously read. Which is why it's a little bit peculiar for the Gemara to almost begin again and say B'Kesef, and then immediately to jump in and say Minole. Like, how do we know Kesef? And indeed, this is something that obviously bothered the Mefarshim. Rashi says, B'Kesef Minolan, Hacha Ikar, right, Ula'el, Agav Gerara Nakit Leila Trutse Lashon Kinyan de Masnisa. This is Rashi's way of, you know, typical way of saying what the Bali Tosis might have said in a Vim Tomar V'yei Shlomar kind of a way. Namely, what are you talking about? We already discussed this, A. B, we give a definitive answer. Right now, we're about to give a different answer, as we'll see in a moment, at least for a daf or so, till we get back to Kicha Kicha. So how does this fit in with the Gemara previously? So Rashi's answer is that Agav Gror Nakitla, we know about the previous Gemara, but this is the beginning of the formal discussion. There were other Rishonim who contended that that the Gemara really should not say here Minale, and that the Gemara should go right to the second point. And the truth is, the second point is fits in also in a very quixotic way. The Gemara says Minalan, how do you know Kesef? And then it says Vesu, moreover. Hodetanan, the Mishnah says in elsewhere that Ha'av Zakai Bibito, right in Ksuvas, Ha'av Zakai Bibito Bekidusheha Bekesef Ubishtar Ubibia, that the father has rights to decide which mode of Kiddushin to accept for his daughter, meaning a father can marry off his daughter, A. Right, that's implicit. And B, he can choose the method as well. When it comes to Kesef, it sounds like he also receives the Kesef. Av zakai bibito b'kiddusha b'kesef b'shtar b'biya. Minolon d'mekanya b'kesef. B'kesef d'avuahu. How do you know that he has the ability to mekadisher b'derech Kesef? And how do you know that that Kesef winds up in his bank account and not in her bank account? It's just, if you even just read from a literary point of view, the words of the Gemara, it's a little bit, it doesn't flow very well. There's something troubling, obviously, in the Shakla Vitaria, right?
More copies, anyone else?
So it's Minalon, then it's a connection to a rare case of a father marrying off a daughter, which one would have thought would be a different topic. And then it's, Minalon that he can do it, Minalon that he gets the money. There were some girsos who just skipped the first Minalon, because we already read that in the previous Gemara, about Kicha Kicha. So really what we want is Minolon, that the father can be Mekadosh's daughter, and that when he does so, that the Kesef Kiddushin flows right into his bank account. Okay. Challenging Gemara to read and different suggestions about it. Either way, the Gemara's answer is Omrav Yudam Arav, the Amar Krav Yatza Chinam Ein Kosef. Right? Ein Kesef. Ein Kesef Ladon Zeh, Aval Yesh Kesef Ladon Acher, Umanihu Av. Also, just very, you have to scratch your head a little bit just even to figure out what's going on. Rashi helps us quite a bit. Rashi explains that the Yotzachinam, Gabe Amo Ivriya, right, Hayotzis Meshus Odon Besimane Nairus, right, you have an Amo Ivriya, she's sold off by her father, again, at a young age, right, to an Odon, and she's Yotzis, she goes out Besimanim, right, once she becomes a Nara. So Umatzi Lemichtav, the Pasuk could have said, Biyatza Chinam, meaning when she leaves the Rishus of the Adon, she goes out with any kind of without any kind of compensation. Free and clear, basically. Why add these seemingly superfluous words, Biyatza Chinam Ein Kesef? Biyatza Chinam means she goes out, right, freely, without any kind of added requirements. So why do you need to add? And by the way, she goes out free, there is no payment. V'labai ein kesef. El nidrash bei. So the suggestion in the Gemara is that the words ein kesef, in the context, just, you know, think about this, of Ama Ivriya, right, are intended as a drasha to teach you the din of kiddushei kesef, generally, or at minimum, in the case of Ektana. Ein kesef, by contrast, ein kesef la'adon zeh, the double emphasis is, it's chinam and ein kesef, it's chinam from the adon, unlike, or in contrast to, a parallel situation where she leaves someone else's jurisdiction, namely, not the adon, but her father's, because he, right, elects to marry her off when she's a minor. So in that situation, she yotza mimenu, when you leave the adon, there's nothing, there's no compensation. Aval yesh kesef la'adon acher, someone else who has sovereignty over her, or control over her, whatever, there is compensation, kishi yotza mimenu, v'hainu, and that refers to the father. Okay, that's the Gemara's limud. Remindi yu'av. Then the Gemara says, v'ema ledida, maybe, even though it's true that he, you know, has the ability to be Mekadesh when she's a child, and even Kiddushei Kesef, but how do we know from V'yatzachinam Ein Kosef, or Ein Kesef, which means the contrast, and there is Kesef in the case of her leaving Rishus Ha'av, how do we know that the Kesef ends up in his, meaning the father's, bank account? How do we know that she is not Zocha B'Kesef? The Ema Ledida.
She's an hour or two.
I'm sorry? But we'll get that in a second. Just 1 second. So the Gemara says, Hachi Hashta, right? Avia Mekabel Kiddusheha Dichsiv Espiti Nasati L'Ish Hazeh. He has the capacity to marry her off, to decide that she should be married, to elect to marry her off as a minor. The Ihi Shakla Kaspa, meaning he's going to make this decision and do the heavy lifting, and she's going to benefit financially. She's going to receive this, you know, Shavapruta. That's the Gemara. So then the next line in the Gemara says, kind of what you were just asking, the Ema Hani Miliktana, the Leis Layad Lekabel Kiddushin. Maybe that's true for a Ktana, right, whose capacity to be Miskadeshus on her own, right, is non-existent, because she's not gedola, she doesn't have das, she's not subject to, you know, those kind of kinyanim. Aval nara, right, nara is a gedola, right, the isla yad lekabel kiddushin, who seemingly, now what this means exactly we'll get to in a second, the pashtus of the Gemara means she can be mekadesh, she can be miskadesh as herself, right, she can accept kiddushin. And therefore, taktish ihi naf shavatishkol Kaspa, let her also receive the financial benefit of the Kesef Kiddushin. So the Gemara says, Amakra binureha be'savia kol shevach nu'urim le'avia. We learn out for the pasuk binureha be'savia, right, when she's a nara, right, even though she's a gadola, but she's still a nara. She, all the shevach, all the benefits go to the father, and we're going, the suggestion is that that should be the makar, not the yatzachina men kesef, because we don't know in the case of nara, right, who is going to receive the money, but from binureha be'savia, kol shevach nu'urim le'avia, we learn that kesef kiddushin is going to go to the father. That's what the Gemara says initially. So the Gemara says, El, I'm just going to go through the Shakta Natalia first, and then we're going to take it apart.
The presumption is that he can be Mekadosh or when she's an Arwa, right?
Say again?
The presumption that he can be Mekadosh or not, not just that he gets the money.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, yeah. No. But the Gemara seems to be so what is the Gemara's suggestion exactly? So I'm going to show you that in a couple of minutes, but there are two opposite suggestions in the Rishonim. The majority of the Rishonim understand that certainly the father can marry her off when she's a Nara. And certainly the understanding was that when he marries her off, I'll show you this inside, that he should be receiving Kesef Kiddushin. The only question is, when she, the other assumption is that she could also marry herself off, you know, as a Nara, you know, she gets to it first. And the question is, in that situation, who would receive the Kesef Kiddushin? Would it be her or her father? That's the view of most of the Rishonim, certainly the Bali Tosis, Ramban, and so on. The Chiddush there is that the Gemara thinks that even in a situation where she, right, is the one deciding her fate, and she's the one making the Kinyan, Kiddushin, even then the father has rights in Kesef Kiddushin, which is not at all obvious, right? The Tosis Ridge, I'll show you inside in just a couple of minutes, says exactly the opposite. Is exactly the opposite view. His view is that, again, the facts are the same. She can be miskadeshes on her own. The father can be mekadesh, he can give her over to Kiddushin, right? But what the Gemara was suggesting was that when she is miskadeshes on her own, then there's no question that she receives the kesef of Kiddushin. The question is, even when he is the one making the decision, is it possible, since she could make the decision, I'll explain this in a minute, that she should receive Kesef Kiddushin even when he makes the decision? So these are two opposite ways to read the discussion of the Gemara, right? At least the Havamina. The first way, the more normative way, I guess the more typical way of reading the Gemara is that we're suggesting that maybe the father gets Kesef Kiddushin even when she is the one who initiates the Kiddushin. So the Chiddush is, right, Heichan, how far does his rights and her go? He should receive the financial benefits even when he's not the real player. Okay? And for the Tosfos Rid, it's exactly the opposite. The idea is that since she has a certain measure of competence and independence, therefore even when he has the right to be Mekadesher, or does exercise his right to be Mekadesher, she, right, should be able to claim the financial benefit. Yeah. Yeah.
This is before he develops what it means.
Right.
So how is he an Adon Acher?
Well, he's an Adon Acher in the sense that
we don't have
she
there yet. We don't have any of his.
Well, we know something. I mean, we'll see in a moment. Hafaras Nadarim, he still has rights over. Knas, he has rights over. We're not sure.
They knew that.
It seems like we'll see that from the next lines that they seem to have known that. And again, you're raising a very valid point, which is, like, what did they know and when did they know it? And that's particularly important, not for the next line of the Gemara, but for like 3 or 4 lines down, which we'll see. But it seems like they certainly knew some rights that he has. I mean, even now, the Gemara knows that he can be the one to decide that she should be miskadeshes. They just are arguing, or what's up in the air at the moment, is who receives the financial benefit of the Kesef Kiddushin, right? So they do know that, you know, that there are elements of his control. And we'll see that, you know, they know quite a bit. Ella had Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, minayin shemaisa habas slav. The Gemara says, it's hard to believe that this is the Makor because of the following. The Gemara says that Rav Huna asked, how do you know that maisa habas goes to the father? Meaning, how do you know that her maisa yadayim, let's say she goes out and she works. She's a miner and she works, right? Or she's a nara and she goes out and she works. How do you know that the paycheck, you know, goes to him and not to her? Shenemar, v'chiyimkar ish esbito la'ama. Fascinating. Gemara says because he has the ability, right? The psukim say that he can sell her into slavery. Slavery, we'll call it servitude. Sounds a little better. So ma'ama, ma'isya deha, l'raba, right? In the case where she works for an adon, so she loses her financial clout or independence. So af bas nami ma'isya deha l'avia. So huadin, you know, since he could sell her in a way that her financial independence is, you know, evidently, you know, non-existent, so too that capacity implies that he has jurisdiction over her financial, over her financial wherewithal, even if he doesn't sell her. Abbasnami ma'isya deha le'avia. So the Gemara says, but okay, fine. So now ma'isya dayim go to the father because of the equation or the kal v'chomer from his ability to sell her to an ama, right? But why not tepukle mi binureha beisavia? Did we just say that the makar of Nara's kiddushe kesef going to the father is because kol shvach nureh liavia because of the pasuk of binureha beisavia? So why can't that be the makar for ma'isya dayim? Why do you need to learn it out from ama ivria? Ela, it must be that bafaris nadarim who just said that this pasuk of binureha beisavia, if you look at the psukim, is not talking about ma'isya dayim, and it's not talking about kiddushe kesef. It's talking about, that's what I said before, hafaras nadarim. It means that if she makes a promise, an oath, right, then under certain conditions, he, the father, has the right to disrupt, right, to cancel or annul that neder. That's called hafaras, literally, you know, interruption or disturbing of the neder. So if the pasuk of binureha beisavia, though even though she's a nara already, she's still beisavia, refers to hafaras nedarim, so obviously it's not the makar for ma'isya dayim. And if it's not the makar for ma'isya dayim, because it's limited to things like hafaras nedarim, then it shouldn't be the makar for kesef kiddushe either. So we're back to square one. How do we know that a nara's kiddushe kesef, right, go to the father? Bishlam, with the katana, that we know because it's inconceivable that he would be Mekadesher and she would get the money. But when it comes to Nara, either that's what's conceivable or what we're talking about is her being, you know, in charge of her own Kiddushin and still him benefiting, depending on whether you take the Tosis Rid or the other way to read the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Hachanami Bafar Sadar Mutsi. So what's going on? The Chitema Nelef Minei. Well, why don't you say that we will learn Kesef Kiddushin from Hafaras Nedarim. Right? Just like she is Birshuso, even though she's a Nara, she's Birshus Ha'av Le'inyan Hafaras Nedarim, so too she is Birshus, her father, Legabe Kesef Kiddushin. So according to the simple reading of the Gemara, which is the way I'm reading it right now, so the Gemara's answer is Mamona Mi'isura Le'alfina. Just because she's under his sovereignty, his jurisdiction, when it comes to matters of Isur, the Darim, for example, Hafaras the Darim, right, that's a matter of Isur, that doesn't mean that Huadin Legabe Mamo. So what that means for us is, and this is not surprising, I'm only highlighting it because we're going to see that there's one read in the Gemara that is different, and that is significant, is that Kesef Kiddushin, who benefits, right, whose bank account, you know, absorbs Kesef Kiddushin, that's called Mamona, right? As opposed to Hafaras Nedarim, which is called Isura. Not surprising. It is about money. Could you have said otherwise? Maybe. because Kesef Kiddushin isn't about buying, you know, an object. It's not that kind of an acquisition. It's not that kind of a kesef. So you might have thought that, you know, it's an Iser kind of a, or Kinyan Aguf kind of a Kinyan, and maybe the Mammon is more like Iser than Mammon. So I'm going to show you that there is such a reading, one Girsa in the Rishonim that the Ramban quotes and the Tosfot quotes, actually reads this Gemara differently, and that the when it says V'chitema Nelef Minei, according to this view of the Ramban, it's referring not to Kesef Kiddushin. It's referring to Maisei Adeha. Because remember what happened. The Gemara said, how do we know about Kesef Kiddushin? Right? The Gemara says, Kol Shvachnu Reha Bin Rabbi Savia Kol Shvachnu Reha Liyavi. Then the Gemara says, if that was a legitimate makar and it wasn't limited to Faris Nadarim, then why don't we learn Maisei Adayim from there? And we find that we really learn Maisei Adayim from Amma Ivriya. Right? So the way our Girsa, the way our understanding of the Gemara is, the Gemara says, well, you're right, Afar Sadarim is Iser, and that cannot be the Mokar for Shavach Nureha, for Maisei Adayim. That's why Maisei Adayim is derived from Amma Ivriya. I, says the Gemara, let it be the source for Kesef Kiddushin. The Gemara says, Mamonim Isura lo yalfin. But as I'll show you inside in a couple of minutes, the Ramban quotes a Girsa that read the Gemara the following way. Everything is the same to the beginning, meaning the Gemara said, let's learn out Kesef Kiddushin from Binu Rabbe Savia, right? The Gemara says, well, we see we don't learn Maisei Adayim from there, because it's Iser, right? And I'm sorry, because the Pasuk is talking about Afaris Nadarim. So if we don't learn out Maisei Adayim, because the Pasuk is talking about Afaris Nadarim, we're not going to learn Kesef Kiddushin from there either. Then the Gemara says, well, why don't we learn out, not Kesef Kiddushin, Maisei Adayim from Afaris Nadarim. And implicitly, Kesef Kiddushin, you know, is learned out from Afaris Nadarim too. We said that before. Right? Kesef Kiddushin is learned out from Bin Rabbi Savia, Kol Shvach Yurim Lavia. Then the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, what's wrong with Maisei Adayim? The Gemara says it's Afaris Nadarim. The Gemara says, big deal, that didn't stop you from learning Kiddushin and Kesef Kiddushin from there. Right? So then what's the Gemara's answer? Oh, the Chitema Nelef Minei, why not learn Maisei Adayim from Afaris Nadarim, just as we learn Kesef Kiddushin from there? The answer is, Mamona Misura Layofinan. Right? We don't learn Maisei Adayim, which is Mamona, from Afaris Nadarim, which is Isur. But didn't we just say that we do learn Kesef Kiddushin from, right, from this Pasuk? So the answer is, yeah, because even though Kesef Kiddushin is Kesef, right, it's not a monetary benefit, right? It's really under the rubric of Isur. That's an amazing idea. Anyways, I'll show it to you inside in a minute, so you don't have to take my word for it. Then the Gemara says, V'chitema nelef miknasa. Again, so according to this girsa, the question is, learn Maisei Adayim from Knas? According to the normal reading of the Gemara, let's learn Kesef Kiddushin belongs to the father from Knas. What do you mean from Knas? From the fact that the father collects, if she is subject to Knossos when she's a child, right, those knossos are collected by the father, whatever they happen to be, including onus and pitui, of course, but not limited to that. Any knoss of the daughter goes to the father. Let that be a makar, according to the mainstream reading of the Gemara, of kesef kiddushin going to the father. So here, understandably, the Gemara says, mamona miknasa loyofina. Right? Knoss is a different category. And what we might just add to the mix is to explain that when it comes to knossos, there is no, especially if we take this view, that in knossos, there's really either no or, let's say, very complex relationship between what we'll call the trigger action, right, and the knoss. Meaning it's true. If you steal something, the, you know, you know, stealthily, that's Gneva, so there's something called Kefel. And if you do Tvicho Mechira, Nashor and Aseh, right, so then there's something called Dalad Behe. And there are all sorts of Knossos. And they are connected to actions that you take. But since we know that things like Moda Beknas is Potor, right, that if you were to admit before you were obligated, right, you would be Potor. And there are other indications of this as well. So even though there are triggers that cause you to be chayiv knas, right, the knas is usually beyond the amount of actual hefsed, and in some situations, modem miftar, you don't pay it at all. So because knasos are kishmam kein haim, they are a penalty, they're not really compensation, they're not really quid pro quo, so maybe the father, you know, gets that non-correspondent, you know, to the action money, you know, because he has a certain sway, he has a certain control over his daughter. Does that mean that she shouldn't get payments that are more directly connected with things that she has done, or her value, or her fate? For example, Maisei Adayim, for example, Kesef Kiddushin, maybe not. So the point is, the Gemara wanted to know, maybe let's learn from Knossos that the father collects, and that we're saying is, Mamona Miknossa Loyofin. I'm just trying to add a bit of an explanation that it's not just a Xeris Akasuv, Mamona Miknossa Loyofin. And there are good reasons to distinguish between the father's role in Knossos and his role in Mamonas. Yeah.
It would almost seem that a Knoss is like a Kalachome.
What do you mean?
The Knoss is. If it's not for Shiori, he gets it for a penalty. But why?
Right, but it isn't a correspondent. Let's say, for example, Gneva, right? So the Karen is really the payment of the compensation. The Kefel is a multiple of that, and the Dalad Behe. So that's not what he lost. So that's not related to the... That's less related, it's more of a, you know, an add-on, kishmo kenu, like it's more of a penalty, maybe a deterrent, right, a punishment, than it is, you know, some sort of direct, you know, correspondent value or compensation. So what we're saying is, you know, just because the father, you know, it's a totally, gratuitous, value, essentially. And it doesn't necessarily even always correspond. Like, you know, Shloshim Shel Eved applies no matter how valuable this particular Eved, you know, was. And that's true for, I mean, Chatzi Nezek in the case of Tam might be a little bit different, but whatever. Let's assume for the moment that Chatzi Nezek Tam, we talked a little bit about it last year, is half price. You're not getting the full amount. Right? So since it isn't an equal value, it's less connected to the trigger action or to the trigger victim. That might be the idea here. But we'll see. Then the Gemara says, "Bechitema neleth miboshes upagam." Why not look for... And again, what's happening here in the Gemara is very fascinating, as you can imagine. You know, we're trying to figure out, we're dealing with a case which is rare... Probably. In our day, it's extinct, right? But the point is, we're dealing with a case which is a little bit exotic, right? You know, a father's role in marrying off his minor daughter. And with a whole host of parallel applications, right, where things happen to the daughter... That you have one victim, or one subject, or one object, as the case may be, right? And we're trying to figure out whether or not there isn't another financial address, or another address for the financial compensation. It's a bit of an exotic case, right? Typically, all these cases, if they were talking about not a minor who has a father, right? But... You know, a gedola or a gadol, right? So the victim is also the beneficiary of whatever compensation There is. Or the subject or the object. I work, I'm entitled to compensation. I don't have to give it to, you know, to someone else. Not, I don't have to give it to my cousin. I don't have to give it to my father, right? Or to my mother, you know, if I'm a gadol. And, you know, the same is true for knossos, and the same is true for boshes upagam, we'll see in a moment. The same should be true for maisei adayim. The same should be true for the ksuva payment, we'll see in a moment. Kesef kiddushin, right? Hafaras nadarim, right? I'm an independent agent, as long as I'm of age. And whatever, you know, the issue is, there's a single, you know, address, unless I make a shliach for something, and so on and so forth. But here we're dealing with a situation, and that's really what I want to zero in on today, where really there are two, you know, addresses. Because the real participant is a ktana, right? And her father is, you know, responsible for her, right? And as such, also a beneficiary, right, of the things that happened to her, or of certain, you know, with responsibility also comes rights. And that's the situation. So we're trying to figure out, the Gemara's focus here is on one issue, right? Kesef Kiddusha. You know, sometimes when you read Gemaras and Shaka Vatarias, you know, and you read them well even, you can kind of lose sight about, you know, what the real topic is. The real topic here is, what happens when you split your focus, when one source, right, is the Mechayiv, seemingly, you know, for what's happening, but another source, right, plays an indispensable role. So basically what we're trying to figure out is Kesef Kiddushin, and we're looking to parallel issues where you have a father and a daughter, right, and where it's an open question, you know, when we focus on the object, the subject, the Mechayiv, the victim, whatever you want to call her in the particular case, maybe that those are some of the reasons to make Chilukim, subject, object, victim, Mechayiv, etc. And in all these cases, you have a father. And the question is, are these comparable cases or not? So when the Gemara says, oh, you know, Isura l'chud, Mamona l'chud, Knas l'chud, Mamona l'chud, Nara l'chud, you know, Ktana l'chud, they're really discussing the same broad question, but they're saying, you know, although the issues here are parallel, we might make distinctions. Right, the same question applies in all these cases, in Nedarim, in Knas, in Boshes Upgam, in Kesef Kiddushin, in Maisei Adayim, in the ability to sell her, you know, as an Amma Ivriya, we'll see soon, in his capacity to give her over to Chuppa, the way that we look at Yiyud, that all these questions are the same, right, but you might make distinctions. And we'll discuss the right way to formulate this in just a minute, what the issues are, but that's exactly what's going on here. So the Gemara says, V'chi tema, now it says, Nelef mi boshes upgam. What is boshes upgam? Mostly, boshes upgam is not knossos, right? It's on the border of knossos and nezek, we'll call it. Let's, for our purposes right now, let's look at it more in terms of nezek, right? So if she, as a ktanos, or as a nara, suffers boshes upgam, right? It happens in the context of onus and pitui, possibly, at least onus. It could be in its own right. So he, once again, collects that. Since he collects, could that be a good source for his collecting Kesef Kiddushin when he marries her off? Learn out from Boshes Upgam. So the Gemara says, Shaini Boshes Upgam, Davua Shayech Begavayu. Now, what does that mean? He has a particular connection to Boshes Upgam. And therefore, he, you know, is entitled to that in a manner which defies the analogy, you know, to things like Kesef Kiddushin. Well, what's his special connection? So here we find two perspectives in the Rishonim, in reading this line of the Gemara. Some of them say something which is logical, but opens you know, opens you up to other questions and certainly seems to contradict other sources, but would get you out of another problem. The first way is he, you know, suffers Bosha Supagam with her. In other words, he's a victim as well, because what happens to his daughter, who she marries, how she's treated, right, is not something that happens only to her, right? It happens to the family. That's a little bit of, you know, a little bit, but, you know, let's not get carried away, of the, you know, Dina, you know, Shimon Levi, you know, Yaakov, you know, story, you know. You know, can such a thing happen to, you know, to our sister, to the daughter of Yaakov? Of course, in both directions, both on the Shimon Levi side and, of course, on the Yaakov Avinu side, Achartim Osi, right, Be'enei Ha'aretz, and so on. Meaning when something happens which impacts the reputation, right, in addition to the actual person of a family member, right, so it happens on two levels. It happens to that person and it happens to the family's reputation, right? This is just something that all of us can recognize, and I'm just giving you an example. Even in Bereishis, you know, in the book Bereishis, Parshas Vayishlach, you know, where this is a very, you know, clear issue. So one way to read the Gemara is that the Gemara says, "Shaini Bosha Subgam Davua Shayich Begavai." Namely, what happens to her also reflects on the parents, right? And by the way, I mean, this is part of the halacha too. You know, in the case of the Motzi Shemra, right? So, you know, it takes place Bishari Ro, and we talk about, you know, the role of the father. And he is part victim. You know, he's responsible if indeed she did things that were improper. And he suffers, you know, if her reputation suffers or she's humiliated. So one way to read the Gemara is, her Bosha Supagam is also his Bosha Supagam. Therefore, he has a special connection here, and that defies the analogy. The problem with that is, you know, how far you take it. Certainly, it could be true. But, you know, number one, isn't that always on a secondary level? That's the humiliated party, you know, is the most acutely affected by Bosha Supagam. And then there's, you know, a ripple effect, and maybe the father, you know, is the second in line. And is this really a legal category at all? Do we even go beyond the initial victim? Again, I think there are interesting ways to combat that question. But, and especially when, you know, when she's a minor and he's a gadol, so maybe it overcompensates or it compensates for it. But either way, that's one problem. The other problem is the problem that all the Rishonim addressed here, and that is, the Gemara and Ksuvah seems to say that the reason that he, the father, receives Bosha Supagam is because Ibai, right, he minsiv law, he could marry her to a menuval and a mukashchin. Probably wouldn't be, you know, such a good father if he did. But he can marry her to an unsavory character, which would humiliate her. And therefore, Bosha Supagam is his particular right, because he could do it to her himself, right, with impunity. So that's his jurisdiction, if you will. The problem with that is, that's what the Gemara says in Ksuvas. The problem with that is that the Rishonim here all ask, and we'll see it inside in a second, isn't that circular reasoning? Because what we're trying to figure out here, we're trying to figure out the source for Kiddushei Kesef. So we're saying, oh, learn out Kiddushei Kesef from Bosha Supagam, but we learn out Bosha Supagam from the Kiddushin. Now the truth is, we learn it out from the capacity to give her to the Kiddushin, not necessarily from the Kiddushei Kesef, but the Rishonim were still bothered by this problem. This seems to be very circular. So some of them, therefore, are driven to the first solution, the one I mentioned before, and they say, no, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a different perspective or an added perspective in Bosha Supagam, namely the spillover effect on the father. Others say, you know what, this is a shakla v'tarya. Don't get so carried away. We don't necessarily like that answer. Meaning, in Achanami, if you read the Gemara in Ksuvis, you know, this is not going to last, it's not going to make the final cut. So what we were saying here was, the facts are that the father receives Bosha Supagam. As it happens, the Gemara in Ksuva says, you know, that the reasoning, you know, is ends up making this a circular argument. But since we have an answer, you know, either way to this question, so, you know, we don't have to focus on the details. That's what some of the Rishonim say as well. Okay.
You mentioned a minor. I mean, is this authored by an arrow? Boshit and Began?
Yes.
Oh, so it's not a minor. It's including an arrow.
Yeah. Yeah. Ela mistabra, dechi kamemait yitzia dekevasei kamemait. So the Gemara's final answer is that the source for Kiddusha Kesef being the right of the father is, again, v'yatzachinam in Kesef. We said before, that only proves that there's Kesef. It doesn't prove who receives the Kesef, who's the recipient of the Kesef. The answer is yitzia dekavasei kamemait. Not only are we contrasting, right, the Adon, you know, the Yitzia min Adon with the Yitzia of the father, in the sense that, you know, that Yitzia doesn't trigger Kesef, this Yitzia does. We're actually comparing, right, the potential recipients. Who would the money, if there had been money in Yitzia min Adon, who would be the beneficiary of that money? Who would receive it? The answer is the person who needs to be compensated, because he's lost control, namely the Adon. So in parallel, Yitzia de Kavasei Kamemai means that here you're leaving the Rishus of the father, right, for the husband. Therefore, the compensated party needs to be the father. Yitzia de Kavasei Kamemai. Look at Rashi for a minute. Yitzias Erisin Dumya de Yitzias Ama Kamemai Midin Ama Ulamemar de Yesh Kesev Ba. Uma yitzias ama ivriya ain kesef. Who doesn't get kesef? I mean, who would have but doesn't? La adon denafka mershusei kamar? Kamar kras, sorry. Af miut yesh kesef, de kadiek, li yitzias erison, yesh kesef, li mi she yatsa himenu kamar, behainu af. Okay. Then the Gemara says, well, is that really a perfect comparison?
What happens if she doesn't have a father?
I'm sorry? It's not an issue. She would certainly get money. What's that?
If she doesn't have a father, no question that she gets a Kesef Kedushin, right?
Say again?
If she does not have a father.
A Nara or a
Ketana?
A Nara who doesn't have a father is in her own jurisdiction.
No question. Everybody's
no question.
Hakom Odin.
Yes.
So it doesn't work.
It's only if she has a father, the question is.
So then, you know, you see the Kavasa. She goes out from this autumn or not. Maybe it's a situation where there's no one at all together.
Well, certainly in Ketana it's fine.
No,
and even in Nara, I mean, the point is that still, as long as she does have a father, she is leaving his Rishos L'inyan Maisei Adayim, L'inyan Afaras Nedarim, L'inyan all these things. So it's still a better parallel than her receiving the money, right? So, but the Gemara says, V'hala Damya, Hayitziyah, L'hayitziyah. We're talking about, the whole point here is now, Yitziyah de Kavasa Kamemait. So we're comparing two yitzias, but they're not comparable. Hasam nafka la mirshus adon legamri. Right? In the case of Eved, she is completely, right, free of, disconnected from the adon. And therefore, had there been a compensation, it would have been he who was deserving of that because he loses total control over her. But hacha, in the case of a ketana or a nara who's leaving the rishus of her father by virtue of being married to someone else, right? Is that really a yitzia mirshus ha'av after all? Right? After all, hocha kati michsra mesira l'chupa, right? With regard to, for example, who's in charge of deciding, you know, whether stage two will take place, the chuppah. Right? That still is in the hands of the father. In other words, he still holds sway over her. So it's not the kvasa kamemait, because she remains somewhat in his rishos. So the Gemara says, true, but b'hafaras nedarim mia nafka lem rishusei. Since right, there is a yitzia mirshuso, at least with regard to afaras nedarim, that's sufficient. The Tanan, the Mishnah says, in nedarim, nara murasa avia ubala mefirin nedarah. Okay.
Can I just ask one question?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have a scenario here where the father sold her when she was a katana, and then she became a nara, so she goes out with simonim, and then the father can marry her then and get so he can take advantage of her twice, he can sell her as a katana, and then he can be makabel kedushin.
Well, that's a separate issue. I don't want to get into that right now. That belongs to other gemaras, whether or not selling her, you know, disqualifies his ability to be Mekadesh. Well, that's not what we're talking about here at all. No, here we're talking about a parallel.
No, we're talking about being Mekadesh when she's an Ara.
Yeah, but we're not talking about Mekadesh or Ben Ara when she was already an Ama and Yatza Mershus Adam.
How do you know?
Gemara
doesn't exclude it.
No, right. So that's I'm saying that's discussions later on when the Gemara speaks about Ama Ibra and they talk about that. You know, whether or not he has, you just asked me, like, does he have a second hold over her? Right. That's a good question. That's something that the Gemara discusses later on. But I'm saying it's not relevant to reading, you know, these psukim and the Gemara's reading of these psukim, because here we're just talking about a parallel. We're not talking about the same case at all. It could be the same case if there wasn't some other problem, but maybe there is, and that, you know.
Okay.
That's what the Gemara speaks about later on when it talks about Am Ibriya. All right, anyways. So then the Gemara just finally, to finish up, so the Gemara says, we need it for something else. The Tanya will learn the Braisa. V'yatzachinim eli mei bagros, ein kesef eli mei naros. That already when she's a naros, she leaves Rishus ha'ado. Right? So the Gemara says, Amar Ravina, im kein lemakra ein without a yud kesef, my ain kesef with a yud, ain kesef ladon zeh, avol yesh kesef ladon acher, umay nihu av. Okay. Then the Gemara goes on and discusses, do we really learn drushos from the presence or absence of a yud? But that I'm going to leave because that has an interesting little something to talk about there as well. So let's stop here for the moment. And let's go back and analyze all this. So, two things. Okay. So, number one, what this whole Gemara focuses on, clearly, is two things. Number one, the source of Kesef Kiddushin, right? Number two, the question of who receives Kesef Kiddushin in the case of a Katana or a Nara, and how that fits with parallel, right, situations that, you know, affect the daughter when she has a legally, right, controlling, if you will, or legally responsible father. Right, those are the two topics. So just very briefly on the first point, and we'll get back to it. This whole Gemara of the Yatzachinam, you know, as we already noted in the Rashi and the previous Gemara, seems to clash with the question of kicha kicha in misteafer. So the, you know, ultimate resolution of that here comes up on the Gemara in Dalet Amud Beis. You can just look there for 1 second. The Gemara kind of discusses this, but what it means by it is also still not clear. Yeah, second. The Gemara says here, towards the middle of the page on Daud Amud Beis, we'll get to it. V'itzrach l'michta v'yatzachinam. Everybody have that? V'itzrach l'michta k'yikach ish. D'ikas of Rachmana k'yikach hava min k'dushin d'yoiv l'bal d'idohavu. Kas of Rachmana v'yatzachinam. D'ikas of Rachmana v'yatzachinam hava min hecha d'yoiv l'ihi l'didei v'kidash hav k'yushay. Right? Kasav Rachmana, ki yikach velo ki tikach. So here's where the Gemara addresses the question, well, what do you do with these two psukim? And basically the Gemara says it's a tzrichasa, that you need to be marbe, both psukim, not for v'yatzachinam, we would think, in a case of the father-daughter that Inochanami, the daughter, would be the recipient of the Kesef Kiddushin. V'yatzachinam teaches you that that is incorrect. Okay? Kiyikach Ishisha teaches you that you require the Maisa Kiddushin to be Mitzad Habal. And that Nasna hi v'amra hi, if she were to take the initiative and be the one to formulate the Kiddushin, so had the Gemara seems to say, the question is whether it means it or not, fully, right? Certainly partially means it, that if we had derived Kesef Kiddushin only from V'yatzachinam, then this din of Nasna hi v'amra hi, namely, ki yikach velo ki tikach, would not have been known. Okay? So, the point is that the Gemara does address the question, and the Rishonim, as I say, had different girsos, or different perushim, in terms of the beginning of the sugya. In the end of the day, the question we should be thinking about, and we will get back to, is whether or not deriving Kesef Kiddushin from ki yikach, or deriving it from V'yatzachinam, conceptually, is important or not. Like, is there a big difference or not? Again, when the Gemara says that there's a trichasa, you know, there's always two ways to read that, to understand that. One is, that it doesn't really matter in the end of the day whether you learn that from V'yatzachinam or from Ki'ikach, in terms of how you understand Kesef Kiddushin, right? The only thing that really matters, and the reason you need two psukim when there's a trichasa, is to teach you more facts, or to preclude more misconceptions. If we only learned V'yatzachinam, we might make this mistake. If we only learned Ki'ikach, we might make that mistake. Baruch Hashem, we have both limudim. We're not making any mistakes. So, shalom al yisra. In the end of the day, if I then ask the question, what's the main limud? Is it Ki'ikach or V'yatzachinam? Does it really matter? If you look at it that way, not much. You need both. Right? It's the same Kesef Kiddushin either way. There's just a couple of pratim that we would have mixed up. Okay? But when you have a Tzrichasa, there's another way always to understand it. And that is, it's not that basically these Tzrichasas are there, you know, for Giluye Milsa, but that the particular mistakes that we would have made, that we're precluded from making by virtue of these Psukim, reflect on different perspectives in understanding how this institution works. If I learn V'yatzachinam as the source of Kiddushei Kesef, right, then I'm going to avoid one mistake, but I might make another, because my perspective on how Kiddushei Kesef works, right, is consistent with that benefit and that detriment. And the same is true in parallel with Ki'ikach. If I learn Ki'ikach, the reason I'm not going to mistake... I'm not going to make error number one, because Ki'ikach implies a certain view. I'll explain what I mean in a second on Kiddushin. But I might make mistake number two, right? And therefore, one is a Gilui Milsa, the other is the real Limud. And therefore, it really matters which is the Makar. Again, there's no Hasra here, so we don't have to worry about, you know, Minchas Chinuch type questions about, you know, giving the right Hasra. So, knowing the Makar here is probably more significant conceptually than it is for any practical nafkamina. What is the makar in the end of the day? So it's interesting to note that if you look at Tosis on Yud Dalid Amud Aleph, I'm sorry, Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, made a mistake. Last week we talked about Tosis on Yud Dalid Amud Aleph, 2 weeks ago we talked about Yibum, Chalitza. Look at Tosis on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph for a moment. So the Gemara here says that Kishem she'en isha niknes b'pachas mishava pruta, kach ein karka niknes b'pachas mishava pruta. A very fascinating line in the Gemara. The Rishonim all point out that don't we, this is Tosis the question, we might as well just go straight to it. Tema, havel el medak ipcha, to kinyana isha le'adinan el misadeh. Right, the Gemara says in the beginning of the Masechta, Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron, that we learn Kiddushei Kesef from Kinyanei Sada. How far does that go? That's a big issue. We spent a lot of time in the Chalipin Gemara, right, discussing that, and it comes up again and again and again. Right? But either way, the direction is that we learn Kiddusha Isha from Sada. Here in the Gemara on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, we seem to be saying exactly the opposite. We're learning Dine Kinyan Sada from Kinyan Isha. How could that be? So Tosus gives two answers. Veshemi Shlomar, the lace leg Zeir Shavu the Kicha Kicha. This day on the Gemara is according to the view that the real makar is viyatzachinam, not kicha kicha. Interesting. Inami eshlomar deurcha the Gemara leminkat hapashut tchila kidi isa benadar. Really, we're learning out isha from sada, not sada from isha, and they just switch the orders because it's, you know, it's easier to say this in this direction. Fine. In other words, 2 days in Tosis, what the Maskana really is. If you look at the Rambam, and we'll talk more about this, in Pirsha Mishnayis, and in Yad HaChazakah, and in his Tshuva about Kiddushe Kesef, the Rambam emphasizes exclusively in those places, Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephra. But it is fascinating that in Mitzvah, I believe, Reishit Gimel, in Sefer Mitzvos, there he discusses very prominently also V'yatzachina in Kasef. He also mentions Kicha Kicha, but he actually emphasizes that the main makar is V'yatzachina. I don't know how to explain that fully, but it is an interesting phenomenon. The Ritva, in the beginning here of Kiddushin, here on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, on the, you know, in sharp contrast to the first day of Tosis on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, says, as much as the Gemara is going to discuss V'yatzachina main Kasef here, you should know the real makar is what we learned on that base. That's his answer to the question. Beis tells us unequivocally that kicha kicha mistei Ephron is the real makar. V'yatzachinam is a supplement, a gili milsa. Okay. Now, what are these different perspectives if there are different perspectives? So I would say the following. Number one, if you learn out kesef, kiddushin, from Kicha Kicha. So, at minimum, what we're saying, or what we potentially are saying, is something very important about Kiddushe Kesef and the role of Kiddushe Kesef in understanding Kiddushin. Because remember that in the Torah, there's only one clear parsha of Kiddushin. And that's the parsha in Kitetze. Right? Ki Yikach Ish Isha Uva'ala. So for that word, kiyikach, kicha, to refer to Kiddushe Kesef, especially if that's a Doraisa limud, which according to most Rishonim, not all Rishonim, not Rabosef Sharashi, Rambam Shita, right, Divrei Sofrim, maybe we'll talk about it, we definitely spoke about it a couple of years back, when we were in Ksuvis, but according to the 95% of the Rishonim, right, that this is a din Doraisa. So when the Torah speaks about Kiddushe, when it formulates Kiddushin, ki yikach ishisha, it formulates it as Kiddushe Kesef. That establishes Kiddushe Kesef as a very, you know, typical, you know, it really embodies Kiddushin. Right? And again, going back to the beginning of the Masechta, which works nicely with this, ha'isha niknes, says the Gemara, why niknes? Because of Kiddushe Kesef and kicha kicha. Meaning, to accentuate the Kinyan idea. So, far from Kiddushe Kesef being an aberration, and maybe like a commercialization or a materialization of Kiddushin, no, we think of the Kesef, the Kicha, Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron, as something which is very characteristic of Kiddushin. And especially the way that we interpreted this in the Rambam, which is that for the Rambam, you know, employing the methodology of Kinyan, and even importing from Choshen Mishpat, you know, the Kinyan of Kesef, is part of the Chiddush of Matan Torah, of Maimon Har Sinai. Right? It's what establishes the wide range and real ambition of Ishus of Klal Yisrael. It's the contrast between Bnei Noach, or pre-Matan Torah, and Maimon Har Sinai. So when you say that Kesef Kiddushin is Kicha, Ki Yikach Isha, it's part of the Hagdara of what Kesef is, of what Kiddushin, sorry, is, that's very significant. Contrast that with the view that says, oh, you know what we know Kiddushei Kesef from? V'yatza chinam mein kasef. V'yatza chinam mein kasef. Like, you need a whole page in the Gemara, right, to explain how it even works. Right? The Parsha, that's a pasuk that, you know, goes to the Parsha in Mishpat, is about Amar Ivriya. Right? It's by negation. Right? What you don't have there, what you do have here. It's a strange case, you know, dikavasa, that it goes to the fa. It doesn't even go to the miskadeshes. Right? In the end of the day. It sounds like, you know, okay, it works. You know, but the kesef part is pretty trivial. It ends up in somebody else's bank account other than the wife. Is that a reflection of the fact that this is a kinyan? It's a formal, you know, oser, koda maheter, all the things that flow so beautifully from ki yikach ish isha and so on, right, are pretty much lost except for the fact of the effectiveness of Kiddushei Kesef, the Kesef, right, la'aviha. Which may be what the Gemara is saying in its Tzrichasa, when the Gemara says that if it had not written V'yatzachina Mein Kasev, if it had just been Ki Yikachi Shisha, you know what? She, the minor daughter, not just Nara, by the way, even Ktana, she would have gotten the Kiddushei Kesef. How could she get the Kiddushei Kesef if the father is the one who, you know, Ihu, you know, a Mekadsha, V'ihi, Mekabelis, is like Kesef? The answer is, but she's the Cheftza HaMiskadeshes. And if this is really Kiyika Chishisha, it's got to be her. So the Gili Milsa certainly tells us it's wrong. Does it also tell us that the whole Kiyikach, you know, perspective and Kesef perspective is wrong? That depends how you understand the Tzrichasa and which one is the dominant component. Similarly, let's go in the other direction. What's the other Tzrichasa of the Gemara? The Gemara says, if it hadn't been for Kiyikach Ishisha, if it only been V'yatzachinam and Kasef, we would have known that Kiddushei Kesef works, but we would not have known, right, that we're makpid on Kiyikach V'lo Kitikach. And then, if it was Nasnahi, Amrahi, it would be fine. So the Bali Tosis on Dalet Amud Beis, say, you know what? Look at Tosis very quickly. Get away, but Tosis quickly. Hechad diavel didei v'kidashto. You know, this leaves lines in the Gemara just again, so you see what they are. The Gemara says, v'itzrich lemichtav kiikach ish, v'ikas of rachmana kiikach havamina. I should go earlier. V'itzrich lemichtav yatzachinam, v'itzrich lemichtav kiikach ish. D'ikas v'rachmana kiikach hava mina kiddushin d'yahiv la, bal, d'idahava. That even if she's a ketana, the money should go to her. Kas v'rachmana v'yatzachinam. The whole thing is wrong? Or that prat, it's a bank account issue. His bank account is always connected to her bank account. Or I should say the other way. Her bank account is connected to his bank account. It really goes to her bank account, which means it goes to his bank account. It's one of those, what is it, you know, routing? Is that what we call it? Mm-hmm. Bank routing issues? Okay. Is that what we mean? Or we mean to say, don't think, you know, Kesef works because it's a Kenyan, but don't get too excited about this as the paradigm. Okay. Because of Rachman of Yatzachinam, hava mina echad di yahava, ihi lidide vikidashto hava kidushi. Right? She could take the initiative. Says Tosas, don't get too carried away. Tema, kiven de ikach kra de chiikach, osa lememar shihi lo te kadshenu, ma tzarech lemelev kicha kicha de stay afron. So what? So we won't have the connection to Kesef. What's a big deal? Balava chishamina lo medechsev ki yikach, velo ki tikach isha asish. Veshomar de ilav zereshava haba mepinen kra de chiikach ish a kidushin shal biya. Aval kidushin Kesef lo biina nasan hu ve amar hu. Lach yitzuk zereshava la ruye de chiikach mayur be Kesef. Wow. A sensational Tosis. But understandably. Tosis says, he asks a question in a technical way. Namely, the Pasuk still says Ki Yikach Ish Isha, and that's still a description of Ishus. What do we care whether that's the Makar of of Kesef. It's still the makar or the description of Kiddusha. Right? So, if the Yatzah Chinam, you know, is going to tell us, even Nasna Hi V'Amra Hi works, you know, what are you going to do with Kiyikach? Says Tosas, that's a question, it's a strong question. Tosas says, no, we would have thought that Kiyikach refers to Kiddush, because Kiyikach Ish Isha Uva'Allah. We would have thought when it comes to Kiddush Bia, there we require Nasan, or we require Amarhu, or Nasan, Nasan here meaning that he's the you know, the one who takes the initiative. There Ha'ish, L'chazar, Ha'isha, and so on. But, you know, we would think that Kiddush Kesef works, and in the context of Kiddush Kesef, we don't really care who takes the initiative. In other words, we would have thought that Kiddush Bia L'chud, Kiddush Kesef L'chud, with regard to this issue. You could go even further, even if you didn't like what Tosa said, you might say that, you know, okay, the Torah describes Kiyikach Ish Isha, but maybe Kesef is a linchpin. Kesef is a litmus test. Kesef tells us that these people just have to make a kinyan between them. So what do we really care in the end who does what? As long as it's a kinyan. Right? Who's the kona? Who's the makna? They need to enter into some sort of a marital bond. Right? What's wrong? Whether it's Bia, maybe Bia too. Or for Tosis at least, that's the chiluk between, that's in Kesef, but not in Bia. Fine, very interesting. What's going on here? It's exactly the issues that we're talking about. Meaning Kiyikach, if Kiyikach is a source of Kesef, and it shows you there's an Oser, there's an order. I mean, we are very particular about how Ishus comes about. It's not enough that it be a Kinyan like other Kinyan. Then we don't care whose bank account it's in, and we don't care that it's learned out from some, you know, oblique, you know, reference in a different parsha through a contrast in a out of the way exotic, you know, minor with a father case, right? What do we care? So what do we care about who does what? As long as they, you know, there's a consensual, there's a kinyan. And there's a consensual understanding that that kinyan, right, establishes marriage. But that's exactly what we're saying. We do care. We care deeply. Ki yikach ish isha is very meduyak in what is the chiddush of ishus shel halacha, as opposed to ben noach, as opposed to pre-matan Torah. So then, right, in the end of the day, we have, even if we have both kicha kicha and biyatza chinam, it's pretty important to know, right, which is the ikar and which is the adjustment. Okay, so that's point number one. We could highlight it by making the following point. Some again of the more out of the way rishonim, the Talmud Rajba and the Shitul Anodilami and others make the following suggestion in the Shakla Vitaria biyatza chinam and kasef. They say, well, you know, if the whole point is that you have to somehow compensate the father because he's losing his daughter or jurisdiction over his daughter, you know, he's the en kesef la'adon zev v'yesh kesef la'adon acher u'mayniu ha'av, right? So how do you know that there aren't two requirements of kesef kiddushin? The baal should give money to the father when we're dealing with a minor because he's displacing his kinyan. He needs to neutralize kinyan abal. Right? He should also give money to the daughter for the kesef kiddushin and for her role as the, you know, as the makne. She's the makne, and he's the makne, but in different ways. Now the question itself highlights the fact that his getting this money, right, is not about her being miskadeshes, it's about his compensation. Right, in this component. Now, halacha, of course, these Rishonim have to labor hard to explain why, you know, what their diuk is, or how do we know that there aren't two such things? Right? There's no two such things because this is an adjustment. It's a bank, it's a rerouting thing. It's just, he's going to end up with the money, but it's really, the money is her money. Or no. You know, all there is maybe is his compensation. How could that be? There are two opposite solutions I'm suggesting. Right? It's really her money, but it's rerouted. Or it's his money, even though she's miskadeshes. How could that be? So this brings us to the bigger point that we need to discuss, and that is, as I've said, you have this case where you have two subjects or objects or two
participants,
two personalities here. Right? And the question is, like, what is the balance of this, you know, combination? Now, this is a question to ask whenever you have this kind of a, you know, phenomenon, right? Whether it's a father and a daughter or, you know, something parallel. It could be a father and a son in some cases. It could be whatever the two are, right? And within the father-daughter dynamic, again, you have the ksuva, you have the knas, you have the maisi adayim, you have the mechira, you have the yiud, you have erusin, you have nesuin, you have kesef, you know, kiddushin, right? You have boshes ubagam, you have, we'll see in a moment, or we won't. I guess we'll see next week. Amoda b'miktsa, shvuas apikodon, shvuas ha'edus. The question really is, right, how to formulate this relationship, and it's not necessarily a single answer for all the applications, right? Although it's a single question, or a parallel question. Do we say that he's like a super, I'll just give you three perspectives, is he like a super shliach? Normally, ein shlichus, right, biktana. Ktana cannot be a shliach, a katan cannot be a shliach, and normally you can't be a shliach for a ktana or a katan either. They can't be a mishaleach. But is there something about the father-daughter, father-child relationship, in which there's a special tziruf, or the gzeres hakasav of the Torah, that says, you know what, here, he's kind of an apotropos, or a shliach. He is her, you know, the manager of her affairs. In which case, he has a certain greater, probably, independence than any other shliach, because she can't. It defies the rules of kol di'ihi or di'ihu ibayavid shliach ibaymashvi. Right, and there's no minui, because the Torah is memana. So you're going to get greater independence, and he's the only one who can do it. That's also going to give him greater independence. He can't be fired. He didn't need to be hired. He's automatic. He's exclusive. Right? But in the end of the day, and that'll account for some things, but in the end of the day, everything that he's doing is really her action and being done on her behalf. Then even then, you'll have to figure out what things depend on that reality and what things depend on this level of greater independence resulting from these phenomena. Okay? That's still something to figure out. Or, let's go in the opposite direction. There's no shlichus, there's no apotropsis, she can't be a mishaleach, he can't be anything. Right? The Torah basically said, he's the bailim on these matters. She is part of his property. She's, I don't mean it in a demeaning way, but she's his minor daughter. Therefore, the fact that he has responsibility over her gives him jurisdiction, and makes him the bailim. He's the player. She's the cheftza. She's the hechetimtzi. Even in marriage, harder to say that about marriage. Easier to say that about, you know, Maisi Adayim, but basically he's the bailim. Even on the marriage side, is the marriage of a minor daughter fundamentally a different chalos than the marriage of a gedola? Again, if you take the first view that he's a kind of super shliach apotropos, the answer is absolutely not, except for lemaisa, the differences that we're talking about. But everything he does, he's doing on her behalf, and it's a regular ishus. And just that he's the gadol, compensating for her minor status. But maybe that's wrong. Maybe there's a chalos called ishus ktana, and he is the bailim over that. Now, of course, let's not get too carried away, because in the end, the person who's living in this marriage, and who's growing into this marriage as a gadola later on, for which it still is chal, is her. This isn't miun d'rabbana, this is kiddushin d'araisa. So the point is that the chiddush is, he is the mechayiv, he's the bailim, it's different chalos ishus in some respects, and at the same time, she is the isha. She's the Eishes Ish. Then you have to figure out which dinim depend on the Chetza Shal Eishes Ish, right? And the Chetza Shal Ishus, and which depend on the nature of the Ishus, so the Bailam on the Kiddushin, and so on. In between those two things, we can ask the question whether or not there isn't a difference between the Kiddushin and the Ishus, where he's kind of a Shliach and she is the focus, and the money, right, because of Shvach Nurel Avia or whatever, right, maybe he's the Bailam on the monetary part of this when there is one. Or no, even that is a rerouting of her money into his account. So this is a question to ask, these perspectives, on every one of these issues and more. And you could be Bechalik. Could you be Bechalik between Ketana and Nara when it comes to this? Sure. Makes a lot of sense. And now we can understand both, right, perspectives on reading the Gemara. Right? One way, the Gemara said, let's the Chalik between Nara and Ketana. Right? Because when it comes to Ketana, we say, ew, he's Mekadesh, and she's going to get the money. Then the Gemara says, but maybe not with regard to Nara. Meaning what? So the mainstream view, my time is up, so I'm not going to read it. So we'll read all of these Makaris inside, and more next time to elaborate this. The mainstream view, as elaborated by the Bali Tosis, and as embraced by the Ramban, and most of the Chachmei Svarad, with the important exclusion of the Tosis Rid, is what the Gemara is saying is, he can be Mekadesh her, she can be Mekadesh herself. The Gemara is considering the possibility, what happens only when she is Mekadesh her. When he's Mekadesh her, he certainly gets to keep the money. And that answers the question, you know, he's Mekadesh, she gets the money. We said it by Ketana, why aren't we saying it by Nara? The answer is we are. We only want to know, when she's Mekadesh herself, is he still the Bailam on the Mominus? She has a Yad. He's not her Shliach. Not even Befoal here. Meaning, does he, with that highlight, is he the Bailam on the Kesef part, though? Since he's the Bailam on Maisi Adayim? But for the Tosis Rid, the question is exactly the opposite. Namely, she's a Nara. She has a Yad. She could be Miskadesh on her own. Maybe that means that even when he is Mekadesher, we don't say, Ihu, Kidsha, she should get the money. We say that in Ketana. Why do we say in Ketana? Because in Ketana, he's the Bailim. She doesn't have a Yad. But in the case of Nara, right, he can also be to work on her behalf. But even when he works on her behalf, he's a kind of a shliach. So why should he get the why should he get the money for that? If I send a shliach to Mekadesh the Isha on my behalf, the shliach doesn't get the money. Right? So, the two opposite perspectives in reading the Gemara take on new meaning. As does some of the other chilukim that we'll make. So we'll see next time, both in reading the Gemara and then in some other examples, who is the bailam between the father and the daughter. Thank you.